Good morning, good people. I'm Kiplin Primus, your host for The Local Take on Jazz 91.9 WCLK. And in a midst of a pandemic, which disproportionately kills older African-American citizens, there is a judge in Fayette County that has sentenced a 76-year-old black woman to 499 days in jail for a DUI that did not involve anyone being harmed. Attorney Sherry Jefferson from the African American Juvenile Justice Project is working to secure her release, and the hashtag Justice for Carol and rallies have been coordinated by the AAJJP. But Sherry Jefferson, welcome back to The Local Take.
Thank you for having me.
So can you tell us what happened to your client? You know, what did she do, you know, at 76 to incur a sentence of 499 days in jail in the midst of a pandemic?
Okay, so for purposes of disclaimer, she was not a client of mine or the African American Juvenile Justice Project. On September 9th, her case was presented to the African American Juvenile Justice Project so that we can assist with advocacy. Through our LEAD program, we engage in legislation, litigation, education, advocacy, and demonstration, which hence Justice for Carol hashtag. When we learned that there was a 76-year-old African-American woman that was detained under a 499-day sentence by Justice John Thompson of Fayette County State Court, we immediately reached out to about 75 attorneys in that area who are practicing law, who in turn to verify which one of them had her case. And we also reached out to the Georgia Public Defender Standards Council to find out who in fact was representing her interest. When no one responded back with their level of representation through AAJJP, not me, but I through the AAJJP secured legal counsel on her behalf. What we have been doing to this date is we offered five options. She was arrested and detained in July 2019 for a DUI. Then she was accused of violating probation in March of this year. When she was accused of violating probation, she was ordered into a residential treatment program. The problem lies that a residential treatment program would require her to pay out of pocket money she did not have. So what we did at AAJJP is we stepped in to find program providers who could assist her. None of those program providers can assist her because she is currently incarcerated, so we were trying to get in-home care. That was denied. The next option we presented was, what can we do to aid her with wraparound community-based services? So what does that look like? It's getting a CNA, a registered nurse, occupational physical therapy, and other wraparound services, including counseling, that she could have in the home. Then that was denied. Then we were in touch with the jail, because the jail in Fayette County was responsible for overseeing her transition out of jail into a treatment program. So from March 4th, 2020 through September 9th, 2020, she had remained detained with them having no effort of release. So when we found one other company, they were interested in providing the service to her, but at the tune of $20,000 per month, because the jail asserted that the court order required 24/7 supervision. So we then came back and said she doesn't need 24/7 supervision if you simply find a least restrictive means to address the DUI, and that would mean taking the keys from her car and her driver's license. So if you did those things, you can ensure that she would not be on the road driving. Then that was denied. So the last alternative that we ended up reaching through the lawyers that work with us at AAJJP was to file a petition for writ of habeas corpus. That is a legal proceeding that you go through post-conviction where you ask a higher court to step in, analyze what has happened to her, and whether or not she is a victim of violation of due process, ineffective assistance of counsel, violation of equal protection under the law, and to look at whether she's being subject to cruel and unusual punishment. And that's where we are at this stage.
So this is one of those reasons why it's important to vote in every election, because this was a judge who decided that the only recourse was for her to be locked up, where we are paying for this 76-year-old woman to be locked up in jail when all you would have to do is take her license and the keys from her car, which would pretty much incapacitate her from driving, which is what you're trying to do.
That is correct. We have and we recognize the importance at AAJJP of balancing public safety versus public policy. So there is no mistake that DUI is and could be a deadly violent offense. But that did not happen here. But to protect the public from her, we understand the need to reprimand her. But through reprimanding her, our position is for public policy at 76 years old during the peak of a pandemic. She represents the most vulnerable population. And so even as we talk about what's happening with elderly people, we have to also have this conversation about why one would be drinking or under the influence. There are a lot of stages to aging that includes depression, mental alertness being declined, dementia, and a host of other things, losses of family members, loved ones, and friends, where the circle of life that they once had around them to support them is no longer available. And some of them might resolve to having a drink or two that could subject them to DUI. So what do we do in this circumstance? Do we lock them all up and throw away the key? No, that is not public policy. Public policy is keeping her as a member of the most vulnerable population in a safe environment in her home and providing her with wraparound services. And as you said, as we vote, his seat, Jason Thompson, is not available until the 2020 term. So that's when his seat will become available, Judge Thompson of Fayette County. That's when his seat. He has a DUI and a drug court, which is what we refer to as an accountability court. And in that capacity, the accountability court is that you don't criminalize an addiction, rather you treat it. But there is no doubt that she is being victimized and criminalized for this DUI and this offense. And the fear that I believe for her is whether there is some underlying motive to keep her incarcerated until she dies, or alternatively, to force her into a nursing home environment, all of which at AAJJP we're advocating for. So someone might ask, why would AAJJP take up the interest of an elderly? So let me just quickly remind people that you cannot advocate for juveniles unless you're advocating for their parents and their grandparents, many of whom are providers for the population that we deal with. So when we also talk about voting, I want the Georgia voters to remember there is an amendment on the ballot. Everyone is talking about the race for the White House, but there is an amendment on the Georgia ballot that is critically important that you all read it, because that is a ballot that allows for citizens of the state of Georgia to be able to bring lawsuits against state officials acting in their official lawful capacities under similar circumstances. It is to waive sovereign immunity. And Georgia, that is one of the critical elements of what was being discussed during the protestations involving the deaths of several individuals, qualified immunity and sovereign immunity. That amendment for Georgia allows you to waive sovereign immunity. You may not be able to seek monetary damages at this time, absent a legislative review, but it is a step in the right direction, because the Supreme Court of Georgia prevented citizens from Georgia from being able to sue state employees acting in what they call a lawful manner. So remember that amendment on the ballot this year when you vote in the state of Georgia.
Now, we know that justice isn't blind, but a few years ago, Reese Witherspoon, the actress, and her husband, they cursed out an officer who was arresting them or, you know, detaining them for DUI. They didn't go to jail. It was on video. Is this something personal? Because the drug courts, the accountability courts, as you mentioned, go out of their way not to arrest people. What is going on that this 76-year-old black woman is being put in jail for a year and a half?
That's an excellent question that you ask. And what is unique to the comparisons, first let me state that I was not involved in any of the cases with Reese Witherspoon, so I don't know all the facts of the case. I don't practice, so I don't know the facts of her case in terms of researching. However, having said that, I will say that there is clearly implicit bias and racism and discrimination and sexism as it relates to how Black communities are dealt with, and it is undoubtedly even more prevalent with Black women. It's a conversation that many don't want to have about the disparity that impacts Black women, even in many instances when compared to the same offenses committed by our Black males. A lot of that also has to deal with the level of advocacy. And so where you have a situation where someone who is white has been able to be given a pass, if you will, and someone that is Black is ultimately subject to the criminalization of the justice system, we also look to the level of legal representation that they received. In the case of Carol, she was under the jurisdiction and the protections, I call it, of the court system, but at the same time, she was being represented by the Office of the Public Defender. Indigency plays a role twofold. Through the first lens, it's a lack of funding. Through the second lens, they're overworked and they're underpaid. And oftentimes, they don't have the tools or the information that is needed to effectively advocate. And then those who do, they are just as much and intricately a part of the pipeline to prison that impacts the Black community as anybody else. And so where a judge sentences your client to 499 days, and based on them getting into a treatment program that neither Medicare pays for nor they have the income to pay for, you owe it to that client to advocate for them to get wraparound services in the community and bring Medicare in, having letting them be evaluated by their primary care physician. So, yes, it is disparity. There is discrimination. It is based on race. There's also sexism, and then there's also classism, where the class and the caliber of that Black person also plays a critical role based on their financial circumstances. If they have the resources, they're more likely to get the services. When they don't, they are marshaled through the system and treated like a common criminal, and that's exactly what we have going on. And I know for a fact that in Fayette County, Georgia, that there are other individuals who are not Black who have gone before this court under DUI, and they have gone to the accountability court without ever having to serve this amount of time. And many who have violated and who have gotten less than 30 to 60 day sentence for their violation. And so her case is very unique, and that is why it is important that through the AAJJP, we are going to advocate for her release and for wraparound services.
Sherry, what can we do to help justice for Carol prevail? What do you want our listeners to do?
Thank you for asking that question. What we want the listeners to do is, if you're on social media, particularly Twitter, read the hashtag Justice for Carol. Next, we've also provided people with email addresses to reach out to the local legislators. As I said, through AAJJP, we have a lead. We like to lead. Legislate, litigate, educate, advocate, then demonstrate. That means educate them about what it is. If you're a person who works in geriatrics, write a letter about some of the issues that people who are aging experience that might result in them drinking. If you're an advocate for elderly people, talk about the importance of a companion or in-home health care service provider that can give her someone to interact with her on a day-to-day basis. If you are a citizen of Fayette County, then you advocate in terms of who you want to be reappointed or reelected to serve in a capacity. More important, it is critically important for us to show up on the date that our lawyers will be present for the hearing for the petition for the writ of mandamus, and we will be posting that at the hashtag Justice for Carol.
Justice for Carol and the African American Juvenile Justice Project. Attorney Sherry Jefferson, I just want to thank you so much for all of the advocacy and all of the work that you're doing. What is the website? How can we stay in touch with AAJJP?
You would go to www.aajjp.com, www.aajjp.com. And as I stated, on this case, I'm not the lawyer representing her. I'm not practicing to represent her. Mr. Hone, H-O-R-N-E, is who we retain to represent her interest through AAJJP. And so anything that you're willing or able to do in that regard to guide us in this process, you will also find that at www.aajjp.com.
Sherry, thank you so much. Take care.
Thank you.